in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome everyone. It's Karen Cataline filling in for Alan today. And I just always love Alan's opening. It's one of the best in the business. So he's afraid that if we don't impeach Donald Trump, he will get reelected. It took him three times, but he did. Well, he did get reelected. And it's still pertinent, isn't it? Speaking of Alan Nathan, here's his motto. We want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. Well, as usual, there's much going on. We're honored and pleased to have with us as our very first guest, Israeli-born founder and president of the New York-based American Center for Democracy and the Economic Warfare Institute. She's author of The Soros Agenda. Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld joins us right now on The Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Dr. Ehrenfeld. Thanks for being with us once again.
Hi, good to be with you.
So do we have you, not that it matters, I know you split your time, I guess, between Israel and New York, or are you in Israel or are you in New York right now?
I'm in New York, and I actually spend most of my time in the United States.
Excellent. Well, we have so much to talk about. I'm hoping you can stay a second segment already because there's so much to talk about. Let's start off because you wrote a whole book on the Soros agenda. It turns out that the Soros Foundation funneled $80 million to pro-terrorist groups. What we want to know is a whole lot more about that. And does Donald Trump have that information? Is he prepared to use it in any fashion or form? Okay. There
and,
she is.
I hope that the investigators at DOJ have the book. There is much more information. Others have written about how much money he has been following his IRS filings or the foundations and how much money he has contributed, though it's kind of difficult because the money goes to different, sometimes well-established foundations, and it, of course, goes to for education and civic activity. However, where the money goes from there is, according to the Soros Foundation, well, they don't know. They're giving out so much money. How should they know? They trust that the money that they give to the foundation is okay.
Doctor?
Yes.
I think we have a little bit of a problem with the connection, but I think also we missed the beginning of what you said. There's so much here and you have so much knowledge in a variety of areas. What we want to know is, are you able to name names of the pro-terrorist groups that are getting part or some of this $80 million? Then we can go to, why does George Soros want terrorist groups to be funded both here and around the world? Can we start there, do you think? Dr. Ehrenfeld? Okay. So we are working with her connection because sometimes that happens. I'm going to give you a heads up, ladies and gentlemen, on the kinds of things that I really am dying to ask her. And that is, How do these organizations get this money? We know that there are NGOs that get this sort of money. And further, Donald Trump has said that his FBI and DOJ are prepared to go after the funders of these domestic terrorists and rioters who are creating civil unrest in America in some of the most troublesome big cities in America. So, Dr. Ehrenfeld, I think we have you back.
Yes.
And let's start with, since we lost part of that, are you prepared to name names of the pro-terrorist groups that have gotten this $80 million or so money? And then we'll talk about what you believe the money is being used for.
Well, the names of the groups is changing, okay? So there are new groups with new names, so it's kind of you really have to be following it nonstop in order to figure out which new group has received money.
Okay. Let me stop you there. First, I want to give a giant shout out to our producer. The sound is 100 times better. So okay. Thank you to our talented producer. If you can keep that, where you are in your location, that will be splendid. Let's talk about, since this is your area of expertise, why does the George Soros organization, because he's now like 95 or something, but his oldest son, and he has four of them, seem committed to supporting terror in America and terror around the world. Most people just cannot get their brain around that. So help us understand that better.
Well, George Soros himself is 95. He's the foundation. His son, Alexander, is now running it since actually June 2023. The other sons are not involved much. This is Soros's actually established the foundation. First, it was the Institute for Open Society. Now it's the foundations, because there are many foundations. And even a Soros University International. And he declared then that he wants to change the United States of America. And he has been funding all kind of groups and organizations that were actually trying to do the same.
So, into what? What do you think if he could have his way, what would America actually look like?
Well,
do you think?
Like it is looking, if you read the agenda of the mayorship of the New York, you will have more or less the agenda, the Soros agenda. Okay, it's a mixture of it's really socialism, neo-Marxist agenda.
It's terrible.
Removing means of production or confiscating them. Government run everything. Everything is for free. Who will pay for it? Well, no, they will tax the rich.
Sounds like Mamdani to me. And they're starting with New York City. Is he funding that too? And how can he get away with it?
Why not? People can contribute to whoever they want, and they can support parties, and they can support organizations, and organizations that support Mandami can receive money from Soros and others, and they do.
Yeah. So, how do we stop them? We're almost out of time, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to let you go after this segment because of our difficult connection. We so hope that we'll get you back. Why don't you give us the last word and tell us how we can find your book, to learn more. We'll have you back. The Soros Agenda by Rachel Ehrenfeld.
Soros Agenda, Rachel Ehrenfeld, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and other places that sell books. And look at acdemocracy.org.
acdemocracy.org, did you say? Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld. We appreciate your time. We hope to have you back. Well, we're off and running on the Alan Nathan Show. We have a couple of really great, we have some great guests in this couple of hours. We hope you'll stay with us on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Does your digital life feel more like a junk drawer than a tidy desk? Whether it's updating passwords or organizing digital files, Tom Camber, Executive Director of Senior Planet from AARP, has tips for getting your digital house in order.
We all have organizing projects that we put off, and that's just as true in our online lives as in our homes. In a recent survey, more than half of people over 50 say they are having trouble managing and organizing their digital information.
To help reverse the trend, Senior Planet is launching the 2025 Digital House Cleaning Challenge.
Think of it like spring cleaning, but for your digital life. Senior Planet's five-day Digital House Cleaning Challenge helps you tackle your privacy settings, password managers, file storage, and more with simple step-by-step tips. We've broken it down into one easy checklist. It's free, it's practical, and it gives you control over your digital life.
Adopt U.S. Kids for multiple choice parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
The Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And there's such a plethora of issues to talk about. I heard recently that Donald Trump's staff is and the journalists that cover him, both pro and con, are a little frustrated with Donald Trump because even the ones that love and support him. And now we know that journalists, many of them are not unbiased. Some try to be, but then there are some who go out of their way to try not to be. All of them are exhausted. Here is a 79-year-old man who was handed a mess in our country, done deliberately, I might add. This is something pundits really don't want to talk about. I'm not a pundit because I don't profess to tell the truth. I guess I'm a commentator. Yes, I am. But Donald Trump just incites and is the firebrand for a host of emotions, but among them, exhaustion, because he is on a mission and he's in a race against time. Now, rather than to go through, I'm looking at one of my favorite sites. I'm not getting paid to tout this site, but it's called the NOAAreport.com. I switched over from another one that was going down the road of insane conspiracy theories without evidence. It's always a little annoying. And if I go to the NOAAreport.com, the first thing I see on my screen right now is Trump touts FBI successes. 28,000 violent criminals have been arrested. Is that astonishing? And you wouldn't think, for example, that that is controversial. Don't politicians, even who don't want violent criminals on the street, didn't they used to have to lie about it? Didn't they at least have to feign concern about the safety of everyday citizens? No, they don't even have the decency to lie that they are pro-criminal, pro-violence, and anything that Trump is for, they're against. But it's worse than that. Even before Trump came along, they had opportunities to clean up these big cities. But why would they clean up something that they destroyed, that they were in the process of destroying? The contradictions are astonishing. I remember when Bette Midler, 100 years ago, was virtue signaling about picking up garbage on the side of the highway in California. That was then. Now she is no less insane as a radical leftist. Went on one of the late night programs to, this was the day after the hostages were brought home from Israel. And here is this fellow Jewish woman extolling the virtues that whatever his name is, I don't even care. They're all about the same. Kimmel and whomever didn't kiss Trump's orange rear end, right? So she's totally disengaged from reality, but I digress, as I often do. So here she is. 25 years ago, she was cleaning up trash on the highway. Now she's so maniacally hateful towards Donald Trump and a maniacal leftist radical who believes everything the media tells her that she's okay with the 10 cities in Los Angeles. She's okay with having Californians and San Franciscans having to step over dirty drug needles in what was once one of the most beautiful cities in America, and they have destroyed it. They've never been the left. I'm talking the Democrat Party, now completely controlled by the radical left communists. They were never held accountable for destroying these cities, and now they destroy the cities even worse, if it's possible, in order to protest Donald Trump attempting to clean it up. I'd say it again, but I don't know how. You cannot make this stuff up. They are defending their destruction of the cities in America and then lying about it, just like Baghdad Bob. There are no American soldiers in Baghdad, right? Our media has become a Baghdad Bob right here in our country. They are lying about the violence that you can watch on any reasonably honest news broadcast. It ain't AI to watch and to hear the kind of violence that has been going on in our cities before Trump decided to clean up their mess. Trump is the greatest environmentalist there is. He's cleaning up cities that Democrat virtue signalers destroyed. So journalists are exhausted by what this man is capable of accomplishing, and he hasn't even been there a year. Now, I get accused of, oh, you just have Donald Trump on a pedestal. You just worship him. No, where's the line between admiration, giving credit where credit is due, feeling, yes, just a little bit vindicated that our free market capitalist system, which they're trying to destroy avidly, is what produced a Donald Trump. A Donald Trump who made so much money, he got bored and had to have a bigger challenge. And that was to right the ship of the United States of America and return her to her former glory, it's glorious, freedom, prosperity, peace in America and around the world. Even if he doesn't 100% succeed, and he's succeeding mightily, the values are clear, morally accurate, and correct. He stands to provide and to restore peace and prosperity to everyday American citizens. And the Democrats, run by the radical left and the Communist Democrat Party, are doing everything they can to try and stop him. It's not even worth making predictions right now, but there is a huge difference between admiration and worship. We don't worship humans, but we do, we are grateful. We show gratitude and admiration to those who've done the work and have accomplished the accomplishments. That is the very heart and soul of the of our American experience, the American, as they like to say, experiment. So rejoice in that, ladies and gentlemen. Don't let anybody tell you you're worshiping him. It's hero worship. No, it's admiration, and he deserves every bit of it. I could go on, but as you can tell, we have to take a quick break. We have a marvelous guest coming up. This is Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan Nathan on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
The skyrocketing prices of prescription drugs are a growing crisis for many Americans. Understanding your coverage is critical to maximizing the cost-saving benefits offered by your health plan. Joshua Friedel, pharmacist and senior vice president at CVS Caremark, shares more.
To take control of your medication costs and health, here are a few steps to consider. First, your pharmacy benefit manager, or PBM, can help explain the details of your prescription drug plan. Your PBM can also explore cost-saving options with you, such as generic or biosimilar drugs, to help counteract the high drug prices set by pharmaceutical companies. Next, prioritize taking your prescription medications as directed. This is crucial for achieving the intended benefits, which in the long run can reduce overall healthcare costs. And finally, engage with your pharmacist, doctor, and other healthcare professionals. This is vital for informed decision-making and ultimately improved health outcomes.
For more information, visit cvshealth.com.
Small businesses face constant security challenges, from protecting property to keeping employees and customers safe. Simply Safe is stepping in with a new suite of professional-grade security solutions designed specifically for business owners. TV host and entrepreneur Chip Wade has more.
As a business owner, I travel a lot for work, and it's reassuring to have a system that not only lets me monitor my businesses no matter where I am, but it's protected by trained agents who will intervene if there's trouble. It's about knowing my offices and workshops are protected even when I can't be there.
Simply Safe Business Security offers customizable plans backed by 24/7 monitoring. Key features include AI-powered cameras, live agents who can help prevent crimes and call for help in an emergency, multi-camera live streaming, customized user access, and elevated customer support.
Simply Safe aims to give business owners just like me peace of mind so they can focus on growing their businesses, all without long-term contracts or cancellation penalties.
To learn more, visit simplysafe.com.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And I am particularly excited to speak with our next guest, who I haven't had the pleasure of speaking to for a long time. His name is Dr. Steve Turley. He has quite the following: an international recognized scholar, speaker, and author, amassed over 1 million subscribers, see, I told you, on his YouTube channel, 15 million plus podcast listeners, plus millions more across all platforms, including Rumble and Twitter. His latest book is Fight: How Trump and the MAGA Movement Are Changing the World. Dr. Steve Turley, so good to have you along. Welcome to the Alan Nathan Show.
Oh, hey, Karen. Great to be back with you. It's great to chat with you again.
Yes. So it's so funny. The last time I interviewed you, with a long time ago, I don't know how long, I told a friend, he went, you interviewed Dr. Steve Turley? Really? He was so excited.
Oh, that's very your friend doesn't get out much, I guess.
You know, it was great. I don't usually get that reaction, but I did. Let's jump right to it. You know, as a guest, I was asked, and I wasn't fully prepared, to talk about these so-called No Kings protests
this weekend.
Just tell us your thoughts. What's going on there? Do we need to be worried, or what really is going on, in your opinion?
No, not at all. Yeah, I think a lot of it is astroturfed. You know, in the end, I just think it was absurd all the way through. That doesn't discount the movement in of itself. You can have absurd movements that take fire, but I don't think this is one. I mean, first and foremost, the rallies themselves were what scholars call performative contradictions. How's that for a lovely phrase, right?
I love that, yes.
So, you know, the existence of the rallies themselves proves them wrong. It proves they have no king, because if they did, their actions would be treasonous and they'd be arrested. So,
yeah, but they'd have to be educated in civics and other things, which they are not.
Exactly. But it's like, imagine me saying to you, I can't express myself with words, right?
Yes.
It's a patently absurd statement. My actions refute my claim. If we had a real dictatorship, protests like this wouldn't be allowed. So the very fact that they can protest shows that we live in a wonderful constitutional republic. It's absolutely absurd. But more than that, I think it was just performative activism. In other words, it's kind of like virtual reality. It's not real. They're not putting their lives on the line like Charlie Kirk did. They're not putting their livelihoods on the line like so many of us did during the COVID madness. They're role-playing. They're just pretending to be protesters when, in point of fact, they're just play-acting. And it's because, in the end, they have nothing to protest. The reason why they push the whole Trump is Hitler dictator stuff is because they have no viable political issues to defend.
Yeah, yeah. It's so well put. And further, if I might throw out there, they're protesting, as you pointed out, a non-existent problem that doesn't exist.
Right.
But don't they want to obfuscate either their complete apathy or the fact that they're actually for very serious problems, like runaway crime in their very own cities that's out of control, murder and death cults of the followers that they incited. Even pundits never point that out, that the cult and these hysterical green-haired people are on the streets because they've bought into the propaganda of the media and these politicians who have been screaming and jumping up and down for so long.
I think you nailed it on the head right there. Note the demographic that overwhelmingly showed up, right? Even NBC had to admit it. CNN admitted it. Who showed up, right? It was primarily, you know, bougie, white, liberal boomers, right? So, but to your point directly, note who did not show up: working class, black, Latinos, people who are affected, neighborhoods that are affected precisely by those social pathologies you just listed out. The white boomer liberal bougie person. They're not affected at all. They're in their ivory tower, so they and they just sit around and watch MSNBC all day or CNN all day. It's the people who are a dead set against voting for Mamdani. It's the people like we saw it in Chicago with Brandon Johnson. Brandon Johnson won with a coalition between the bougie white elite in Chicago around the Magnificent Mile era and so forth, and the underclass, the welfare class. The working class wanted that more law and order Democrat that he was running against at the time. So they don't buy into all of this woke, no kings kind of nonsense. Yeah. They actually
it's
want
utterly
law
ridiculous.
And order. They want borders secured and so on. Absolutely.
Dr. Steve, if I can call you that, what's bougie? Is it bourgeois? Bougie?
That's bougie. You know, that is so funny you bring that up, Karen, because my kids use that term. My kids are like,
really?
He's just being bougie. And I'm like,
bougie.
And I said, I remember saying to them, what the heck is that? And they're like, you know, bourgeois, you know, they're upper class, aristocratic. Bourgeois. And I'm like, oh, that's hilarious. I never saw that. And now it's just made it into my parlance. Yeah, they're bougie. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned, first of all, we're so delighted that you can stay another segment because there's like, I don't know, half a dozen subjects I would love to talk to you about. Why don't we tackle next your book, Fight, How Trump and the MAGA Movement Are Changing the World. I should have waited till the end so we have lots and lots of optimism, which you're very good at. And there's a lot to be optimistic about, but I want to hear more about this new book of yours.
Sure, of course. Yeah, I mean, a quick plug on it is just that the MAGA movement is actually part of a larger worldwide movement where more and more populations are returning to nation, culture, custom, and tradition as over and again sort of the globalist structures that have done so much damage, precisely the things we've been talking about. They've opened up our borders to bring in cheap labor. They've pushed our manufacturing out into third world countries so as to maximize their margins. And then when we complain about it, they accuse us of being racist and bigoted and all kinds of phobic. And so they end up destroying our culture as well. So more and more populations are saying, you know what, we've had enough of that. We want our borders secured. We want our manufacturing returned, and we want our culture celebrated rather than denigrated. And MAGA just happens to be a uniquely American expression of this much more worldwide movement.
Could it be argued that the astonishingly talented Donald Trump, I was just talking about this before, we're not worshiping, for those of us who were with him all along, it's not hero worship. We don't worship humans, but it is admiration that our beautiful free market system produced such a person that allowed the cream to rise to the top like a Donald Trump, which I don't think we'll see again in our lifetime. And so is it possible, could it be argued, that Donald Trump really is the one who put this trend that you're talking about in motion all around the world? Thank God.
Yes. It was starting beforehand. So we did start to see it emerge around the world, even particularly in Europe. So we started seeing these nationalist populists. You know, we see Giorgia Meloni or for example, Nigel Farage of the Brexit fame.
Yes.
They were out there. Yeah. Well, particularly Nigel. He's been out there since the 1990s, you know.
Yes.
But that's where it started. It started right after the fall of the Soviet Union. And more populations were like, okay, we're no longer in a Cold War world that told us you have to take one of two ideological sides. Either we're going to be on the side of America defended democracy or going to be on the side of Soviet Union communism. Now that the Soviet Union's fallen, now we can kind of just go back to being who we are. So we went from ideology more to identity. Who are we? This is why identity politics is so huge today. It tends to get played out on the left and all of its ethno kind of tribalist structures that hate our country. But it is playing itself out and making America great again, because it's forcing us to all ask, what does it mean to be American? Who am I?
Correct.
What does it mean to be as part? So it started in the 90s. We saw Pat Buchanan emerge in early 90s.
Yeah.
But it didn't explode until Donald Trump hit the scene.
We're talking to Dr. Steve Turley, a star in the conservative world. I'm going to give you a heads up of the two things I want to talk about. They're huge. One is Mamdani, and the other is the woke right. We're going to ask him about that when we get back. You're listening to the Alan Nathan Show here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's Respiratory Syncytial Virus, or RSV, Awareness Month. If you're a new or expecting parent, now's the time to help protect your baby from serious RSV lung infections. RSV is unpredictable and can escalate quickly. 2 out of 3 babies are infected by age 1, so the risk is real. I'm Dr. Mona Amin, pediatrician and mom of 2. I'm encouraging families to join the 6 million and counting parents who've chosen to get their baby Beyfortus, nirsevimab ALIP. It's a preventive antibody that helps protect babies from serious RSV lung infection. October is here. Your baby can get Beyfortus at birth in the hospital or during a pediatrician visit. Don't wait. Talk to your baby's doctor today and visit Beyfortus.com to learn more.
Beyfortus is a long-acting preventive antibody that gives babies the RSV antibodies they lack. Beyfortus is a prescription medicine used to help prevent serious lung disease caused by RSV in babies under age 1, born during or entering their first RSV season, and children up to 24 months who remain at risk of severe RSV disease through their second RSV season. Your baby shouldn't receive Beyfortus if they have a history of serious allergic reactions to Beyfortus, nirsevimab ALIP, or any of its ingredients. Tell your baby's doctor about any medicines they're taking and all their medical conditions, including bleeding or bruising problems. Serious allergic reactions have happened. Get medical help right away if your child has any of the following signs or symptoms of a serious allergic reaction, such as swelling of the face, mouth, or tongue, difficulty swallowing or breathing, unresponsiveness, bluish color of skin, lips, or under fingernails, muscle weakness, severe rash, hives, or itching. Most common side effects include rash and pain, swelling, or hardness at their injection site. Individual results may vary. Ask your baby's doctor about Beyfortus. Visit Beyfortus.com or call 1-855-BEYFORTUS for full prescribing information.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries, from healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives. To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's H-E-L-P-P-V-A.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. Oh, it's such a pleasure to talk to Dr. Steve Turley, an international recognized scholar, speaker, and author with millions of followers. You can find him everywhere, from YouTube to his podcast, millions more on all platforms. His latest book, Fight, How Trump and the MAGA Movement Are Changing the World. Thanks for staying with us, Dr. Steve Turley.
Sure, Karen. Thank you so much for having me back again. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure. So talk to me a little bit before we get to Kami Mamdani, which is a clear and present danger. Talk to me a little about the woke right. I didn't like calling them that. But after watching them come on the scene hugely, bigly, in a very short time, I wonder what your thoughts are.
Do you even know what I'm referring to? I do. I mean, right. but you know, James Lindsay likes to use the term, or even Jordan Peterson. I am skeptical of the term. I just have to be honest. The more that to be woke right, because I think again, we just have to make sure we know what we mean by woke.
Yes.
And I get it. I get the bottom line is woke is generally associated with cultural Marxists. So cultural Marxists are absolutely obsessed with culture and race and ethnicity and all this sort of stuff. And so if you have people on the right who are constantly obsessed with culture and race and, you know, ethnicity, well, they must be woke right. I get it. I see the connection.
The way it was explained to me, with all respect, is I was concerned because people know I put the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. I'm a very rare kind of Jewish Republican conservative. And people I've worked with and known for years suddenly are showing themselves to be truly anti, you know, they're filled with hate.
Very anti-Semitic.
Jewish.
Yeah.
And Israel. It's been heartbreaking for me, Dr. Turley.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, whatever you call it, what worries me is that I cheer this Christian revival from such a horrible, horrible story of the death of a spectacular man, Charlie Kirk. And I don't want that movement to be hijacked by some of these Jew haters. When Charlie Kirk supported the Jewish people, he supported Israel, he was a friend of the Jewish people, and we have to stand together now. This whole thing, I don't know where it's coming from, but you know, you're somebody who is well respected, and you know, the reason they call it woke right is because they're trying to supposedly have some very simplistic answers. This is why the world is a mess, right? Is these people.
Right.
And Jews
right.
have been so incredibly convenient scapegoats that, that's the story.
Yeah, no, of course, you got it. Yeah, I guess, again, I get nervous because woke is so much more than Israel, right? Or it's woke,
yes.
woke is this, right, it's this whole cultural Marxist identity politics movement that is very specific to the left because wokeness hates Israel and Western civilization.
Oh, so definitely.
So whereas the right loves Western civilizations, trying to save Western civilization, and then, just seems to have the second thoughts or whatever on commitment to Israel. I just, to be honest with Karen, I just think that's part of kind of the restructuring of the world around more civilizationalist norms. So Israel back in the day, there was no question during the Cold War. I mean, Israel was a key ally in the Middle East that that was able to hedge influence against the Soviet Union. Soviet Union collapses, and now the world changes, right? The world is kind of getting reconfigured. So the apologetic and the argument that can be made for alliances with Israel are very powerful and very strong. And you don't get a bigger friend to Israel than particularly dispensational Christians who see a very specific role that Israel plays.
Absolutely.
In God's,
and
God's
Glenn Beck calls it the next war.
Exactly.
It's not Jews are always the canaries in the mineshaft. Always the first, but never the last. And that's such a huge topic to use to throw at you what all of that. And it leads directly to what could, God forbid, be the next war, which is a Muslim, Marxist, Jew-hating communist who may well be the next mayor of New York City. Go.
I think it's right. There you go. Right. It's 2 minutes or less. Right.
Right.
No. It's baked into the cake. Unfortunately, it's stunning. We're 24 years away from 9/11. It is stunning. Yeah.
Yes.
This is occurring. Let this hit you, Karen. New York Democrats would rather vote for a communist than a Republican. I mean, let that hit you. So in the end, I think this comes down to, from a civilizationalist perspective, it's not left versus right. It's not Democrat versus Republican. It's American versus post-American. And Mamdani represents a truly post-American movement that hates our country. It hates our culture. They want to basically burn it all down and then create something anew after their own cultural Marxist image. Now, unfortunately for them, Mamdani is going to be the worst possible poster child for the Democrat Party. Maybe for the exception of the the Minneapolis Somali guy. I remember who's running for.
Well, he's learning at the feet of Obama, and frankly, I see not a dime's worth of difference between them and Obama.
Right.
The only difference is Obama was covert about it, and I don't think there's much light between the two, and he might be counseling him to slow down and cover. Cover wasn't very good in our opinion of POTUS 44. I mean, we saw evidence of it everywhere. It doesn't bode well for America either, but it sure is a stark contrast.
It certainly is. And again, the good news is the best he looks like he's going to get right now is a 52-53% in the most Democrat region in the country. Even he ends up splitting the left 50-50, which means he'll end up uniting the right and perhaps creating a very strong counter post-American
culture. I love your optimism. Dr. Steve Turley, get his book, Fight, How Trump and the MAGA Movement Are Changing the World. Best of luck to you. Thank you so much for your time. We so appreciate you. Well, we're going to take a break. We'll have a whole nother hour of the Alan Nathan Show right after this. Don't go away.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.